We're going to be a bit of an unusual tone in our service today, a little bit different. I told the first hour the same thing, that we are going to be an unusual experience this hour. And so let me explain that. First of all, I want to say that we are about to begin a journey next week that I'm excited about. We have just completed our trip recently through the Old Testament, and we are going to begin our New Testament journey. Next week is December 1st. Can you believe that? We're in December 1st, next Sunday of 2024. Time is flying. And we're going to begin our New Testament journey with the life of Jesus, and that's time. We're trying to time it just in time for the Christmas holidays as we get into those first few weeks. So because of that, that will begin then. Today has been it's been a month of Sundays to do some individual conversations with you over the last few weeks together, and today is no exception. We're going to have an unusual conversation, and so if you're first time with us today in person or online, come back another Sunday and give us a try, but this will be a bit off the path a little bit in how we'll use the service, because it's the week going into Thanksgiving, and I love Thanksgiving. I'm a fan of the holiday that we call Thanksgiving. I used to say it's my favorite because I don't know that it was. It was just that I felt like it was the one of all the holidays that was the least represented that I liked a lot, so needed the extra boost. But I've kind of stopped saying that because I realized there are sometimes groups of people who are more religious, often religious people, who are just persnickety about everything, and they're like, some of these holidays are based upon these roots or whatever, and I get everyone's angry and upset about all that. I just don't like that culture of Christianity that's always bothered by everything all the time. And so I was raised that way. So I've kind of, not that way, but in some parts of that. So I've come to the spot where I've said, you know what? I don't want to be like sounding like this is the only sacred holiday. Let me be very clear. I love all the holidays. I love Christmas. I love the sacred part with baby Jesus in the manger, but I also love Rudolph and Santa, okay? And all the stuff in between. I love Christmas, period. And I like Halloween, blah, 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 okay? So there you go. And I like Memorial Day and Labor Day and Independence Day. They're all great, but I do really love Thanksgiving because it's a holiday where we focus on the idea of giving thanks. That's a pretty cool thing. And Thanksgiving is so many things, right? It's family gatherings, which is good, usually sometimes rough. It's getting together with family, and we'll have that opportunity. It's getting together with, it's watching football for some of us. Hallelujah, that's good. I throw up my hands and praise them again and again with a hallelujah for the football games on Thanksgiving Day. Amen. So that's coming up. But also, it's a day to put all the food. Oh, the food is so good. But above all that, we give thanks. And so I want to give you a tool, and you probably sat on it earlier. If you didn't sit on it, then if you didn't know you sat on it, then look under you right now. But there's a card in your seat or near your seat that says the three things you're thankful for this year. Now, this, you do not need to do this right now. In fact, maybe you should not do this right now, but if you already have, that's fine too. We have extra blank ones in the lobby on the way out. I want you to take a blank one home with you, and I'll explain more in a minute. This is a tool that we have used as a family for many, many years in our house. And so when our kids were growing up, we have done this almost every year. Not every year. Sometimes we were away with other loved ones or, traveling, and it got lost in the shuffle. But many, many years, we have taken the time to do this as a family since our kids were little. We would tell them that each of us are going to sit down maybe before Thanksgiving Day or on Thanksgiving morning in our own private space as individuals and write down three things that we're thankful for this year. And we told the kids, each of us should write these things down, and then we should pray all by ourselves to God and say, God, thank you for these things. Meditate on them, pray about them, and have a moment of privacy with the individual and our God. But then what we would do as a family is later on we would get together, and before the day was over, after dinner or before the evening was over, get together, and we would sit around the table or the couches, and we would talk about our list, and everyone would read their three things and say why they were thankful for those things this year. And so we've done that through the years, more years than not, far more years than not, and we've kept them in a box and it's been a precious part of our story. And I want you to have the same opportunity this Thanksgiving. Now, I know that some of you don't have a family around you to do this with, but here's the thing. This works for the individual or for anybody. So if you are alone this Christmas, this Thanksgiving, you don't have anyone else to share it with but yourself. And I know that could be its own kind of downer, right? But I want to, or not, maybe you like that. You're like, please get away from me. But if you are alone this Thanksgiving, I want you to do the same thing that we do, which is to take this list home. And this week, write down three things you're thankful for this year. Write them down like we would do as individuals. And just take some time and say, God, it's you and me. I am thankful for these things. And I just want to lift this up to you and have a little time on Thanksgiving to be thankful. Now, here's the deal. I know that that's important, especially if we're in a dark space, to remember what we're thankful for. I'll say more about that momentarily. If you're a couple, you don't have any kids around, but there's two of you, as you're a couple, do this together. Do it by yourself and then come together later and share your list and talk about it. It's a great connection tool. If you have a family, whether your kids are young or they're grown, but they're coming home to visit, or you have extra relatives coming that are open to it. In our house, when we've had company at our house, if we felt the company we had was open to it, we suggested that we do this together, and they have been, okay, let's do it together. And we'd pass these out to all of them and make it a shared experience with even extended family. We hope to do that this year. So I hope that wherever you are, you'll take this home with you as an individual or a couple or a family, and you'll do this list this Thanksgiving. Now, honestly, this is kind of the sermon today. Okay? I'll probably say this more than once because it's a little, I don't have a big, heavy message for you. This is it. But because here's the sermon. Take this home and do it. That's the sermon. Because I believe that if we will do this week, I believe it will be a spiritual touch point in your Thanksgiving week. And we need those. We need more of those, right? So I hope that you will. These are for you. There's extras on the table back there in case you scribbled on yours and you want a fresh one, or you have a few people coming to your house. You want to grab a few extras for other people. Someone left earlier. They said, hey, Pastor, we're going to be gone this coming weekend because we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving down south with family. But we brought a bunch of them for them. We're going to do all of this together. I'm so excited about it. Wonderful. Grab some with you and take them home with you this week. And do it. They're on the back lobby, or extra seats that aren't being used. Okay. So later in the service, I'm going to ask you if you want to share something that you're thankful for out loud in this room. You don't have to write it down. You can, but you can save that for later. But you can at least tell me something you're thankful for. We'll do that together. So get ready. If you're online, get ready to type it out, and we'll read those as well if we have any from you. Just put it on the comment section online. And if you're here in person, we will do that in the room. But I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for some macro things. In fact, I want to make this clear. As we make this list, sometimes your things you're thankful for are macro things. They're unchanging macro things. And sometimes they're specific to this year. Right? The macro things are things that you're thankful for this year, that you were thankful for last year, that you're thankful for 10 years or 20 years ago, and things that if you're alive 20 years from now, you'll be thankful for then too. They're just macro ideas. But sometimes there's things that you're specifically thankful for this season that happened that weren't on the table last year but have developed this year. Right? And so in our house, we've done a little bit of both. Some years it's all macro things. Some years it's specific things for this season. Sometimes it's a mix of both. And if you had a good year, you might have three or four more things that you're like, this year I'm thankful for this thing that happened and that thing. And that's pretty cool. But there are those years that have been tough. We've had tough years ourselves where we could not list, we couldn't think of so many individual recent blessings because it was a rough year. And sometimes in those years, you zoom out and you say, you know what? I'm thankful for some enduring truths that are bigger than this rough year has been. And that might be what you need to do this year if it's been a tough one for you. Whether it's macro Thanksgiving or whether it's specific blessings of this year or both, write them down and give thanks for them at this time. Now, at this season. Now, here's the thing. This matters to us today. And what I'm saying, I said it a minute ago, I'll say it again. This is not a revolutionary sermon idea. It's not much of a sermon at all. Here's the sermon. Do this for Thanksgiving, right? But today, I don't need to bring some great truth to you. We've been unpacking the scriptures. We're going to get into the New Testament soon. Today, I don't need to bring a great truth to you. Some truths we don't need to be convinced of. We simply need to be reminded. And today's a reminder of what we know, but we forget. We don't mean to forget. I think I was told after church by some people in the entranceway, they said, you know, that was good because there's so much I take for granted. Because you start assuming that it's always going to be there, and to remember to be thankful. So we need to be reminded. We're entering the Christmas season after Thanksgiving, in some places already. And as we enter the Christmas season, we're going to spend time with family. We're going to have family with us, you know. Maybe not if you don't have family, but we're going to be maybe buying gifts for other people. I realize that we're not all as rich as each other. And maybe for some of you, you don't think that you're as well off as somebody else as far as the kind of gifts that you buy. But probably, no matter how less well off we think we are, most of us are buying some kind of gifts for somebody that we know. It may be very simple gifts, but we're probably doing something. Because here's why. No matter how poor we feel, we live in a country where we are blessed. We all eat and live indoors and have enough money left over to do a few gifts, usually at the very least, around this time of year. And so as we get into gift-giving season, I want to ask you a question that is worth pondering. And that is this. What do you give? What do you get for that person who doesn't need anything? Do you have anybody in your life like that? I have a couple friends that we have a couple friends that are pretty well off. I mean, they're very well off. They have more money than I can ever fantasize about having. Most likely, I can fantasize, I guess. But I mean, they have lots of money, and I'm like, what do I ever get for them? You know, like, what do you do for somebody who has it all? Like, hey, it's just hard. What do you get for that person who doesn't need anything? So your kids feel when they're growing up, and it's your money they're borrowing anyhow to buy you something that you don't need. You know, what do you get for that person who does not need anything? And that can be applied a lot of ways, including to God. What do we get for God? It's like, Lord, I want to give you something, Lord, for myself. What do we give God? If you think about that He needs. What does God need? Sometimes you'll hear someone in church or a religious organization say, God needs your money. Okay, I want to debunk that real quick here, okay? God does not need your money. Let me just put that if you heard that said before up here, it's not true. If whoever said that to you, what they were saying was, we need your money, okay? Our organization needs your money. Our church needs your money. But of course, it's God. And that's fine. It's okay to say that, by the way. Like, Lighthouse needs money too, right? You look at our parking lot when you came in, yikes, you know? We could use it as well. So, but here's the thing. Sometimes we put God's name. I always cringe, by the way, when Christians throw God's name on the front of everything they do. God told me this. God told me that. Did He really? Is that just a way of making your statement more powerful so everyone's got to, you know, not question what you said? But anyhow, God needs your money. God's okay. Now, these organizations that are trying to do some good work in His name, we could use your money, right? And so we're thankful for that. But anyhow, or God needs you to go do this thing or it won't get done. Maybe. But we also read the story of Esther recently where we're reminded that if a person, you know, doesn't step up and do the thing that they're able to do, that God's able to raise up help another direction. He's able to still get His work done. He's still sovereign. I'm just saying, does God really need us? Or, better yet, does God invite us into the opportunity to do wonderful things with Him and for the greater good? Are we invited to give and to serve and to all those things? That's a privilege. That's a gift for us as well, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. But what do we give God? Like, what is God up there in heaven that if we could give this to Him, He's like, oh, I was sweating bullets, thank you. I didn't know how I was going to get by. You know? Isn't that tricky? I could do a whole sermon series on the few things that we actually can give God, but I'll only say this today. One of the only things that God wants that you can give Him that He doesn't necessarily have is your thanks. Your thanks. It's up to us to give that to Him. Because God, who has everything, cares about our relationship with Him and with others. It's interesting. Let's go back a minute here. You're ahead of me here. That's okay. Just stay. Let's go with it now. Here's the deal. God has everything, but he made us relational. We are made in his image. We're made in his likeness. And from the very beginning of the story of Genesis, you can read how that God was communicating with himself in our creation, and also how that God made us to be with each other, to do life together. It's a big idea for us to share relationship with people. So, as we get into relationship with people and we enjoy relationship, what do we want for each other? Well, if we care about someone, we want them to be happy. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to recognize and appreciate his provision and his care for you. Expressing gratitude is wholesome both for the giver of gratitude and for the recipient of gratitude. For the giver, it's wholesome because it gets us out of our little bubble, right? I mean, let's be real here. Sometimes life is just happening, and it's tough. In fact, we heard some blessings last service. Someone was talking to me in the first hour about, the precious part of our church family. Roger and Sheila were sharing, they've buried two sons. Can you imagine that? And, but they were thankful that they had two daughters and they have six grandsons, and they're choosing to be thankful for that. But how tough is it when you get to the holidays and you think about who's not there? Some of us have people who are not there. This morning you're carrying that. And so if you get stuck in the pain of any season, it's easy to forget about all the things that are faithful and true. And that's just one of the things where when we stop and recognize the things that we overlook because of things that are not what we want them to be, and so we overlook the things that are, we got to step back and realize, you know what? I'm grateful for these things. And being grateful and choosing to be grateful makes us healthier people. It makes us more holistic people. And so that's why we want you to do this year, not just on Thanksgiving, but all the time, but especially at a holiday where we celebrate giving thanks. But giving gratitude is not just wholesome for me and you, no matter what we're going through. Giving gratitude is wholesome for the one who receives it. We are all made in the image of God. And so can we relate to the fact that God might appreciate hearing our gratitude? Because we appreciate it, don't we? Tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel when someone comes along and says to you, hey, thank you for what you did for me. When people express their gratitude, it just brings us so much fulfillment, doesn't it? Because let's be frank, everyone doesn't always remember to give thanks to us for what things we do for them. We don't always remember to thank others for the things they do for us. I'm terrible at this. I try not to be. But sometimes, I'm just going to confess my sins and don't act pious out there because you're in the same boat probably. Sometimes I feel grateful to somebody. I feel grateful to somebody. I think it. I feel it. But I forget to say it. I forget to write it down. I forget to send them a note. I forget to give them a call. I forget to look at them in the eyes and say, thank you for what you did. I felt it, but they don't know. They don't know. And so when I stop and say, hey, I'm going to tell you, thank you for what you did for me. Boy, I tell you, that is a big thing to do. And if someone in your life has done something for you, thank them. And when you've done something for somebody else and they thank you, how does that make you feel? Makes you feel like it was worth it. It was worth it. So here's my question. Are we thankful to God? Being grateful to God for the things, even in our tough seasons of life that we're grateful for, is not only wholesome for us, it's wholesome for him. He says, it was worth it what you did. You did it whether it was worth it or not, but it was worth it because I noticed it. I appreciate it. Don't we appreciate being appreciated? So giving thanks becomes a tool to help us remember and acknowledge his goodness and find contentment in him and to bless the heart of God. So what do we give God? We give thanks. We give thanks. That's what we give God. That's something that you and I can do for him. We can give him thanks. And so I want to ask you to join me in giving thanks a few times today. I'm going to give poor Cedric a hard time up there because I'm going to have him jump around some screens in a few minutes here. We're going to sing a little chorus that I want to teach you. If you've been around, you've probably heard us do it before. It's a chorus written from one of the Psalms. In fact, Psalms chapter 107, verse 1, and Psalms like 136 in its entirety, I think, or something. And then other places in the Psalms, there's a verse that is beautiful, and it's been put to a tune, and it's simple, it's not complicated. I want to sing it, and a few of you, I'm going to sing it like a solo because I'm just showing it to you. So if you know this already, join me, please. And then we're going to sing it together once I get it in your ear. But it's from Psalms 107. It's a beautiful set of verses. And the chorus goes like this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Ready? Do you know where it's at? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It's very simple. You could do that, right? Now, you got to help me. My voice is shot. We've all been fighting, so I don't know what's going on. Been a long week. So I'm going to ask you to join me and try and pick it up as you go. Can we do it one more time? Ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We're going to get that down before the morning's over. Okay, we're going to get that. So here's the thing. We want to give thanks. What do we give God? We give thanks. The psalmist elsewhere wrote one of my favorite psalms in Psalms chapter 100. He said these words. Let's look at them together. He says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. I want to pause there. That's a big deal. This is a big deal both in the psalm here, also in the Christian writings of the book of Hebrews later, that we are reminded that we acknowledge, right? There's a couple of things in this chapter of Psalms that reminds me of the book of Hebrews later, that we are to acknowledge that part of our faith is to acknowledge God, to acknowledge that he is. And the psalmist says, look, acknowledge him. Don't we all want to be acknowledged? And when we say, God, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how hard things are, I acknowledge that you are there. I acknowledge that you are God. He says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He has made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. And it's interesting because the original psalmist was David, the king, who was the shepherd boy before he was the king, who would oftentimes write about God as a shepherd because he understood that idea. And he says, hey, you know what God is? He's our shepherd, and we are his people, and we are his sheep. And we can acknowledge his hand in our lives. But then he continues, he says, he's also a king. He's also a king, so we want to enter his gates with thanksgiving. In verse 4 there, enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, it's interesting. Not only is he a shepherd, but he's a king. And David was both. And David said, listen, when you come to see the king, you got to go in. You got to go into through the gates to get to the property. You got to go through the doors to get to the courtroom. And when you come and visit the audience, the king, you got to get there somehow. And then there's entrance points. And he says, you enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. And I understand that there's a reference here to the temple in Jerusalem as a psalm here at the time. But let's not narrow it down. It's interesting that throughout scripture in the book of Hebrews and the Christian scriptures, it tells us that we come into God's presence when we pray, and we come to the very throne of God. That wherever I pray, wherever you pray, we enter God's presence. That means if I'm on stage praying, if you're in your seat praying, if we're at home praying, if we're taking a walk, we are someplace physically, but we are ushered into the presence of God in prayer at his very throne of grace. And Paul in his epistles also says that we're supposed to do that entering with joy and with thanksgiving. That's what the psalmist says here. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and praise his name. Those two words, thanks and praise, They're not the same. Think about this. Giving thanks and praise are different ideas. They're similar, but they're different. Giving thanks is when you thank someone for what they have done. Praise is when you praise someone for who they are. Can I give you an example? Michelle, if my wife, if I say that she does something wonderful for me, I'm like, Michelle, thank you for what you did. That was very kind. I'm thankful. But then praising would just say, that's just the kind of person you are. You are an amazing woman. You do this and you're this way and that way. That's praising her for who she is. Thanks is thanking someone for what they've done. Praise is praising them for who they are. And David says when we come to God, we enter his gates giving thanks for what he's done, and we enter his courts with praise for who he is. God, thank you for all the things you've done for me. God, I want to praise you for who you are. You're good. And so, this is a recipe to start prayer. In verse 5, he says this, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Each generation. That's you and me. And I know there's times and seasons of our lives where they're better than others, but always God's been good. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. So, we want to, let me ask you again, what do we give God? We give thanks. So we're going to do that for a little bit today. There's much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for so much. Thank you. That's perfect. I'm so thankful for so much. I'm thankful that we are, I'm thankful for my family. That's a macro thing for me. I'm thankful for my family, my wife, 30 plus years, my children who grow up so fast. I was looking at all the little ones running around here, you know, being held and in the hallways earlier. Just seeing the babies and thinking about when Brett was little, and I held him against my chest, much like you're doing right now, Lindsay. Just held him against me, and I would pat him on the back and hold him there, and he was so little. It was just the earliest weeks of his life, I just hold him there. And I was thinking to myself, who's this guy going to grow up to be, you know? And I kept saying, take a mental snapshot, because this will not last. This will not last. And guess what? It didn't. He got big and hairy, you know, and old. But it was so wonderful. And I remember thinking to myself, don't forget this. And I haven't forgotten it. And I remember thinking, I hope that he's a good kid someday. And I hope that we're friends. And we are. He's a good kid and we're friends. And we share a lot in common. We love sports. And since he's little, we have that hobby. We have a few other hobbies that I won't get into today that we just enjoy you know, all the little things as friends. But he's also just a good man and a hard worker and a good husband and a good person. And I'm thankful for my son. But then God gave us two girls. And I'm thankful for them. Our little, very unique, different girls, very different personalities. Jessica, our blonde hair, blue-eyed extrovert, never met a stranger. Lindsay, our little darker-haired, depending on her color at the time, our darker-haired little introvert. Michelle's little mini-me. Jessica's a lot like me, and she's my mom's spitting image. Just watching our girls grow up. They're our little Disney princesses, you know, always growing up. Jessica was our Cinderella. Lindsay was our Belle from Beauty and the Beast, you know. And raised these girls, raised my son. Ask a younger version of me, would I ever imagine, ask an 11 or 12-year-old me, if I ever would have thought that in the awkward, goofy, paranoid, insecure stage of life I would ever have, you know, those blessings, I would have never believed it could be so good. And I know that you may say, well, Arlen, it's not been that good for me. And I know, and I can't relate to your heartaches, I know this. We've walked through some valleys in our house. We've walked through some heartaches that I can't share because of the nature of them. We've carried burdens on our own, that seasons where we weren't sure we wanted to go on, certain seasons where we didn't know how to go on. And we just stumbled through. Things where we question God and his presence because we're like, well, how could this happen? Those things go on. My point is that through it all, we've chosen to be thankful. Macro ideas, individual ideas for that season. And I want us to be thankful today wherever we are. So I invite you to give thanks this Christmas, this Thanksgiving.